Hello, and welcome to 3D, Up Close and Personal.
I'm David.
I'm Danielle.
And I'm Daryl.
Episode 6, Deal Breakers Part 2. On Deal Breakers Part 1, they talked about lying, cheating, stealing, finance, and other people's children.
And today, we're going to talk about in-law. Mm-hmm. When you get married and you're in-law, if they fall out, you become an outlaw. In-laws can be a problem because sometimes they think you married this person, but we married you too, and that's not really true. There has to be a boundary line where your family can have some input, but it's only so much. Because if you're not over in their house and try to rule their house, then they need to have that same respect and know that, hey, you got boundaries. You can't run nothing over here.
The presence of in-laws can add value to a relationship, or they can subtract value from a relationship. It all depends on the behavior of those in-laws. I've been in situations where the in-laws actually support and encourage, found ways of just kind of cultivating, you know, me and my partner working things out in the relationship. And then I've had other in-law situations where my wife has gone to the in-laws and talked trash about me.
Mom, my husband is a mess.
Basically subtracted value.
They made you the BG, the bad guy.
Not the bad guy. Give me a break.
Exactly. I've had it where they've been a credit. I've had it where they've subtracted value. It all depends on the behavior of the in-laws. It depends on the value of the in-law. There's some in-laws that can see a husband and wife having relationship problems. Example, the in-laws will say, son, you guys are having problems. You go tend to your wife. You go work those problems out.
Go straighten things out.
Or they could say, son, oh, you need to get away from that woman. You never should have married her.
But I love her. I really do.
I had somebody else picked out for you.
You don't have a clue.
Far better than that woman that you decided to enter in a committed relationship. It really all depends on the in-law.
They have some houses that they have, like a mother-in-law cottage, or they might have a mother-in-law apartment where it's part of the house, but it's like a separate unit where they have their own little kitchenette and bathroom and bedroom. They're in the house, but they can isolate because they get all their needs. But sometimes the mother-in-law, maybe even father-in-law, can be a little too involved in the decision-making of the man and wife, and that could cause a problem.
Yes, it does.
I think in-laws should have their own place.
Yes, 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 yes!
But living with them, you know, every situation is different where people need help. And sometimes, you know, mother-in-law might have to move in because she's finance strapped. She may have some health issues. That can change the family dynamics right there, that extra person, especially if that person is opinionated and think their way, their suggestions may help, but sometimes they should be quiet.
And sometimes instead of living in the in-law suite, they really need to live in another state.
Maybe just down the street.
It depends, because some of these in-laws have not even had a successful marriage themselves. You can't really expect them to be a helpful voice to your relationship when they haven't even succeeded. Sometimes a couple can be fortunate enough to have in-laws on the husband's side or the wife's side that have actually stood the test of time and they've actually had some success in marriage. It still boils down to, do they support their son and daughter-in-law or their daughter and son-in-law? Do they support that? Are they trying to add value to that marriage, or are they trying to subtract from the harmony of that marriage?
Moving on to careers can break up a relationship. Even though the money's good, sometimes people are married to their career.
I love my job.
I've seen that as an over-the-road truck driver, a guy can bring home and can make the decent money, but he's not there for the time. A woman can get lonely.
I miss you when you're coming back home.
Some women can hold out and just be patient until their husband comes home. Some of them, they may have temptation.
Oh, yeah.
Get a lot of time on their hands because if he's gone for like a week or maybe 2 weeks at a time, that's a lot of hours and space and time to do what you want to do.
It all depends on the individual. That's why it's important to have all that communication up front just to see, okay, what are your expectations? What do you need as a partner? Some men or some women, they will sell the word love, T-I-M-E, where they need the time to feel like they are fulfilled as a partner. You do a needs analysis on some people. They need financial support, or they need to know that that person is there, whether or not they can get a call every once in a while or a text. Some people can disappear for several months and come back and still find harmony in their home. So it really all comes down to the individual.
We can go to white collar, like a doctor.
Dr. Valentino.
Or maybe an attorney, you know, where they have a commitment, especially if it's the doctor and he's a surgeon and he's committed to his practice and he doesn't work at the hospital and he's on call because he's really good and the money's flowing, but his obligation on chasing that paper relationship gets neglected.
Absolutely.
Basically, it's having a balance in the relationship, financially, and time and all the other slices of the pie to make it work. The next subject.
We are talking about time management.
Time management problems in a relationship can show up early on when you're in the dating phases. And sometimes you notice that one person respects time. They want to start the date on time. Or if they have meetings, they like to start meetings on time. And some people are the opposite, like they plan activities and they're always late.
You're late.
Not just late once or twice, but they're just invariably late every single time. A symptom of poor time management. And then that carries over into the more permanent type of relationship or marriage, where there's just so much mismanagement of time that it just has this effect. It kind of erodes the foundation of the relationship when you just feel like you just can't count on another person.
I know a woman that's so habitually late. They had gave her a surprise party and told her to be somewhere at 8 o'clock, and the party started at 9. She just habitually late when she showed up at 9. She was right on time.
The time management is another one of those values. There's so many values that go into a relationship. Sometimes, you know, there's the value of time management, there's the value of finances. We've talked about the values of honesty, the values of fidelity. If you think about it, these values kind of stand upon each other, or these values have a relationship with each other. In other words, if someone is weak in the area of time management, then chances are they might be weak in finance, or they might be weak in honesty, or the opposite. They may have strengths in professionalism or income earning ability or honesty and ethics. If it's in the workplace, then it probably can be translated to their personal life.
Now, usually people that are bad with time management, not in every case, but some cases, they're just kind of lackadaisical, kind of easy going.
No sense of urgency.
Everyone does not think the way that we do on this topic right now. I mean, the three of us kind of seem to be in agreement that the values of time management is important. But I can tell you right now, I have been involved with more than one person who has articulated the opposite. They're like of the mindset, hey, chill out. Why are you such a stickler for time? Why are you so obsessed with punctuality? You're killing my vibe with all that punctuality.
Killing the vibe, huh? And I think that's where the wisdom comes in with a person, where you can still be punctual on time management, but like sometimes you can let it slide, but it just can't be consistent, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it can't be like your personality trait.
Right, because that can be eternal.
It's also saying someone just unreliable. I mean, somebody's always late.
If you're unreliable in the time area, you know, what other areas are you unreliable in? That's really what you got to ask yourself.
Right.
What else can you not be counted on? If you can't be counted on managing your life from a time management standpoint, what else can I not count on you for?
And the thing is, do I really want to be with you, or do I just want to be a friend? Maybe phone friends, salon, birthday, Christmas, and Black History Month. Now, you know, Valentine's Day is in Black History Month. So phone friends for life.
Daryl, I can tell how you categorize your friendships and relationships. I can tell you have a spectrum, you know, of closeness. I can tell your categories, man, how you define her.
Well, sometimes I want to talk to you now and then.
Yeah.
I get torn up, you know. If you talk to him once a year, get down. I need y'all. You get caught up 15, 20 minutes.
And that can be a touchy situation when you've got two people that are not aligned the right way.
You're not their type.
Like from your point of view, Daryl, you might be looking at somebody like, okay, phone friends for life. And then they look at you like, wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to get together and hang out sometime. We're supposed to be going out on our next date. Or maybe we need to be intimate, that kind of thing. And they're looking at you like that way, feeling like that them like, wait a minute, hold on. You just my phone friend.
That's okay. As long as you pay your phone bill, we'll be in touch. And now we're going to abuse. It could be a major deal breaker. It could be physical abuse. It could be verbal abuse. It can be financial abuse.
Yeah. There are some people that, depending on, I am not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but there are some people who, based on what they've experienced during their childhood, especially from the opposite sex parent, mm-hmm. they have experienced physical abuse. Sadly, sometimes they will look for that as validation or as an expression of love, and they will be attracted to thug life or that abusive situation. Yeah. They can actually be turned on by someone because that means them harm. Some women, they want a man that ex-con, he had 2 or 3 strikes.
Strike 3, all right.
Is abusive, that will not treat her like a gentleman. A woman sometimes is looking for that. How was she raised? Did she have something that she modeled that was a gentleman that can govern what she's looking for?
It does make a big impact on a child's upbringing. It can draw them towards that. It can also repel them from people that remind them of that abuse. I've been told that they didn't deal with people of a specific race simply because they identified that they're abusers. This is all different types of dynamics when it comes to abuse, and not even just physical, that mental, that verbal.
They said that verbal is worse than the cuts and the bruises and scars are healed. But that verbal abuse, mental, is there
for life.
Sometimes the woman abuses the man. Now, in most cases, I've never really heard men calling the hotline and say, I've been abused, or calling the police say, I've been abused by a woman. They suck it up.
It's an uncomfortable situation for a man to cry out as a victim in an abusive relationship. I think it's harder for a man to charge a woman with an abusive act, but it happens.
A lot of times, men will suck it up.
Don't be a wimp.
Because of pride, our society say the man is stronger.
You just got to do things in life that stink sometimes.
He shouldn't be hitting on a woman, and he could take it or he could just walk away. Sometimes they won't even report it. They may have a scar. They may have a black eye. They'll just take it. It's still damaging the man.
Yeah, I have experienced a lover. I was in a committed relationship. This woman came to me, she squared off and punched me in the nose. She punched me in the nose like a man. She almost broke my nose. I have experienced that firsthand. There is a such thing as a woman committing an abusive act toward a man. And I can tell you, I did not feel comfortable calling the police, charging this woman with assault. And not that I would hold it against somebody else who would do that, but it happens.
I've heard with the police officers, that's when the worst call is domestic violence, because they want to take one person to jail or make them leave the house to break them up. If they don't do that, sometimes they come back being a murderer.
In my opinion, I think physical abuse should be a deal breaker. But I can tell you firsthand, physical abuse is not always a deal breaker. Sometimes the abuse victim will find a way to trust or stay engaged or continue to move forward with the abuser. Verbal abuse should be a signal that maybe we need to re-examine this relationship, see if we still need to keep moving forward.
Sometimes with finance, if you're stuck in a lease, a mortgage, working on separate. In some cases, it's just hard to walk away. I don't want to go stay on my brother's couch.
Sometimes you got to cut your losses. Just be the bigger person. Let the other person have the house just so you can survive.
Peace of mind is priceless.
You're not kidding about that.
Addiction can be a deal breaker, because I heard women say that if a man has addiction, even though he might not have infidelity with his addiction, they say that you take it a part of yourself because you're addicted to that substance, you know, whether it be alcohol or drugs, even gambling. So it can be sexual.
Halle Berry said in an interview that she had a husband that had a sex addiction, even though she said she didn't believe it.
I just want to know, does any of Halle Berry husbands have this ringtone on their phone when she calls?
An addiction can be a deal breaker.
Addictions can erode a relationship.
Some people use substances, have addictions, and they maintain, go to work, pay all the bills. Once in a while, they go on the wild side, and they'll get back and recover. Psychology calls it pretend normal. They go back to their life, but as nothing ever happened.
How toxic, how damaging addiction can be for a relationship.
Money that you should be spending, you know, yes. You're not 100% there because you won't focus on the substance. Yes. Or even your gambling addiction, especially if it's online gambling, linked to your debit card, you got paid Friday, and by Sunday, you broke. And the same thing can be substances. You could be party, and be broke on Sunday. You bumming a couple bucks from your coworkers to hold you over to the next check.
And when you take your whole check, go to the casino, and by the following Monday, you don't have any food and any money for groceries. That can be a real hardship.
How about the utilities get cut off?
If you try to test the harmony of a relationship, you spend enough money that your lights get cut off.
Why is the electricity off? We got problems.
Then you will really find out what kind of harmony you're working with.
Now we're going to abandonment. Now, abandonment can be like, for instance, guy just walk out or a woman just walk out on the guy. Sometimes a woman might feel that they're abandoning them, even though they might be physically in the house. Just saying, he might be drinking, he might be using some kind of substance because of their addiction. And she feels abandoned. He's there, but she's there. She's not there.
That's more like neglect, seem like than abandonment. They're there, but not there.
It depends on your perspective. Because some people may look at it as a form of abandonment, but the person who's committed the act may look at it as like, hey, it's not that severe. I'm still here. I'm still with you. I'm still trying to work this relationship out. You may be having feelings that you're being neglected, but I'm still here. You got to be careful.
If you're married to somebody, you know, you're in a serious relationship. I mean, that's supposed to be continual. So that's what I'm saying, is abandonment. You stop bringing me flowers. You stop spending that extra time with me. It could be abandonment. The couple is still in the house. They're cohabitation. But the thing that he used to do, or the thing that she used to fix my meal, and then he's sitting at the table, and she bring it, plate to him.
I've had experiences in the past where I have committed the act of abandonment to a relationship.
You left me.
And the crazy part was I abandoned the woman that I was with to go off to be with somebody else. And then I realized that somebody else that I was kicking it with was not all that she was cracked up to be. I thought the grass was greener. I went, I found out it was weeds on the other side.
It was dog mess over there too.
And then I tried to come back to the relationship that I abandoned, and I was no longer
welcome. Oh, boy.
That's risk can be a deal breaker. You got to be careful with that abandonment game. And sometimes what goes around comes around. You might be the one committing the act of abandonment, but then later on, yo, somebody's abandoning you.
That's scary.
Ghosting, I think that is, to me, a term relationship, like when y'all starting to date and you're getting to know, you're getting warmer, building the harmony, building the, and then all of a sudden, okay, the phone calls stop, or the visits stop, or the effort slows down.
Okay, ghosting from dictionary.com. Practice of suddenly ending all contact with the person without explanation, especially in a romantic relationship. They have asterisks and small print. Price is something to change without notice. I guess abandonment might happen without notice. Ghosting might happen without notice.
Yes.
You didn't read the small print? Oh my God, I'm sorry.
Mostly ghosting, they tell people just to let it go. Because if somebody has that much lack of respect for you, just stop communicating with you. That person was never for you.
It's been a great episode. 3D, up close and personal.
I'm David.
I'm Danielle.
And I'm Daryl.
3D Up Close and Personal, the relationship podcast with a new episode every Thursday. You can find 3D Up Close and Personal wherever you find your podcast, and is produced by
Parks Media Group, PMG 2024, all rights reserved.
And additional music provided by Yumi Multimedia LLC, 2024, all rights reserved.
Like and subscribe.
And share.